Blog Talk Radio.
Church community of Jesus Christ
washing his blood and strengthening to face every bitter outburst of the world's spirit and still forgive, Lord. May our prayers remain, Lord. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, let's play some music here.
Jesus in disguise. Thank you.
Just as we have been forgiven.
There are two sides to every person, like two sides of a dime. Heads or tails, it depends upon who's watching at the time. Though I hate to say it, mine is no exception. One part is the prodigal, the other part deception. Like the prince and the pauper, like Jacob and his brother, each had a different heart, each shadow of the other. Me and my doppelganger both share the same blood. One I have hated, the other have I
this just goes to prove that when asking or answering questions, context is critical. This couldn't be truer than regarding the question we're considering today. Last week, we began looking at questions people have about faith and culture. We discussed the Word of God's existence as it relates to life because what we believe or don't believe about God will have a direct impact on our every aspect of our lives. Today, we're going to look at the logical follow-up question. If God exists, can I know him, and is Jesus the only way to God? To say the least, in our now pluralistic, postmodern, post-Christian, coexist bumper sticker culture, such a question is considered quite provocative. If you have not noticed, our culture is pushing hard towards inclusion of all fronts every day. And to do so, it has to eliminate anything which declares there is but one way to anything, especially to God. I don't say this to be hostile, but to be honest. You see, the truth is, if God exists, then man doesn't get to decide what is or isn't truth. Only God does. Even more, if God exists, he also gets to decide if and how a person can know him, which brings us to religion and faith, and this is without a doubt a clear as mud. Is there a way to know God? A recent report estimates that there are now some 4,200 different religions, churches and denominations, cults and faith groups, which people have placed their faith and pledged their allegiance in which one is right. To not offend, some have proposed an ideology of all the roads in some way to lead to God. And that is to say there's only one way and that all other roads are wrong. It's narrow-minded, bigoted, and prejudicial. The big analogy claims that searching for God is like climbing a mountain. While we can all reach the top, there's more than one way to get there. Now, all the ideas about God contained in the various religions of the world are just different ways to arrive to God. So in our ecumenical pluralistic, let's not offend anyone's culture. This sounds good, even correct, but such an idea is spelled with flaws. Let me explain. First, there's a difference between what is true and what is a matter of taste or preference. If I say I like seafood, I'm making a claim about a matter of taste. Someone may not like seafood, but if I say Jesus is Lord, someone may not agree, and they're welcome to. But the claim Jesus is Lord is a matter of taste to be preferred by a statement of truth that must be validated. Why? It's because Jesus is known reality. He isn't some legend, fable. He was historically proven individual who claimed to be God and was believed with credible evidence to have risen from the grave. Second, the reason all roads lead to God isn't plausible is because of the law of non-contradiction. The law of non-contradiction is the basic laws of classical logic that states something cannot be both true and untrue at the same time in the same context. Example. This building we're sitting in can't have a roof and not have a roof at the same time. I can't be physically here and not be physically here simultaneously. This would be a contradiction. But applying this principle to spiritual religious beliefs with over 4,200 different religious cults, okay, we fundamentally differ in perspective conclusions about God and how to get to him. The law of non-contradiction tells us that while we can all be wrong, we absolutely cannot all be right. All religions are not the same, nor do they point to God. Furthermore, all faiths don't say they're the same, with most people relishing their uniqueness. This is because of the heart of every religion is an uncompromising commitment to a particular way of defining who God is and what is the purpose of life, making every faith practice in some way exclusive at its core. Meaning all roads do not lead to God. All religious roads can't end at the same destination. No matter how many coexist bumper stickers we tag to our cars, no matter how many PC speeches we espouse touting the tolerance and universalism, no pastor, priest, president, pope, or potentate will ever change the fact that every religion at its core is uniquely different from the next, and therefore in contradiction. Example, did you know the difference between Hindu and Islam. Hindus believe in many gods, polytheism, whereas Muslims strictly believe in one god, monotheism. For Hindus, Jesus is one of many gods, while for Muslims, he is a prophet but less than Muhammad. Even more in Muslim doctrine, to believe in more than one god is to commit the sin of a shirk, which destines one's soul to hell for eternity. So if Islam is the way of God, then Hinduism and Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, and every other way is wrong. If the Pope is God's true messenger, then Christian and Buddhist teaching miss the mark. If Jesus is the only way, there are no other ways to God. What we see in the comparison is we can all be wrong, but we can't all be right, which raises the question, is there a right way to God? Secondly, is Jesus the only way to God? Obviously, we don't have the time to review every religion in the world, but I do know a really great place to start with the very words of Jesus. Consider first that in the Bible, Jesus said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. No one, not even one, comes to the Father except through me. That's John chapter 14, verse 6. In this statement, Jesus clearly expressed that he is not a way, as in the one of many, but that he is the one and only way, and that there is no other way. In referring to Jesus, Peter says, salvation is found in one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 12. But this is so narrow, exclusive, it might appear so on the surface. But in actuality, a single way to God is not exclusive, but inclusive. Let me explain. Jesus didn't go out and make grandiose, crazy claims about his identity and then ask people to blindly accept him. He backed up his claims with compelling examples such as performing miracles, fulfilling prophecies, and ultimately returning from the dead. Listen, God, through Jesus, did for mankind what no man can do for himself. He made a way for everyone to be rescued, redeemed, and reconciled to God by the way of an old rugged cross and an empty tomb. He stepped into the flesh and provided the very means for all who were lost to be rescued, if they would by faith believe, receive his act of grace. Does that sound exclusive? Absolutely not. This isn't intolerant, exclusive, or mean-spirited, but generous, gracious, inclusive, and kind-hearted. Did you know all the major religious figures of the world throughout history, Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Smith, Russell, Eddy, and Krishna, the only one Jesus is reported to have foretold, fulfilled, returning from the dead? And this report is backed up by compelling historical evidence, not so much any of the others. Here's what you can't miss. Jesus didn't step out of heaven and into the flesh to be the savior of the world to exclude anyone. He came to meet everyone at the point of their need to reconcile them to God. He gave his life to seek and save the lost. In fact, Jesus makes no human distinctions. He has no bias towards anyone in spite of their gender, skin tone, religious heritage, nationality, or past indiscretions. He entered time, space, and to die on a cross and arise from the dead so that all people, everyone, could have a personal relationship with the living God. So the question is not about whether this is a narrow-minded position, but whether it's a truthful claim. I'm trying to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That's the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a prosaic, or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can't shut him up for a fool. You can't spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can't fall at his feet and call him Lord God, but let us not come with any pasteurizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, nor did he intend to. What does this mean in relation to Jesus' claims? It means the road to knowing God might be narrow, but it's open to anyone who believes Jesus is God, one solution to the problem of sin. Listen, if there's another way to find God and have your sins forgiven other than by Jesus, then why did Jesus die on the cross? It is because there is no other way. Jesus is the gate. He is the bread of life, the resurrection, and the life of the good shepherd, the way, truth, and life. He's not a way, but the only way. Jesus is God's one only solution to the problem of sin. I like to think of difference between Christianity and other religions. This difference is between to do versus done. And every other religion is all about following a list of do's and don'ts. Religion is about what we can do for God to be good enough to get into heaven. But the problem is we never know we've done enough. It's like being a salesman who knows he must make his quota, but never told what the quota is. Christianity is about what God has done for us through Jesus, and not what we can do for him. Through our own abilities and goodness, God did for us what we could have never done for ourselves. While we are sinners, Jesus lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross to pay a full for all the wrongs we've committed or ever will commit. To become a real Christian requires that we stop trying to do it and by faith humbly receive God has done for us. When we do this, God adopts us into his family and begins to transform our lives from the inside out. Amen. Now, this is the time I am going to give out an invitation to all, okay, that want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay? Now, I know you're tired of going up and down this long, dusty road. Okay? I've never known which way to go, which way is up or down. Okay, maybe you lack purpose in life. Or maybe you suffer from depression, anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever the problem is, you see, the Lord can take it away. But in order for him to do so, he's got to know you. If he doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So the question today is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary, and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I also thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, please transform my life so I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And we also like to say thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, did you pray and receive Christ? If so, please give us your name so we can pray for you. And you can do this by calling in at area code 657-383-1487. Once again, the number is 657-383-1487 and press the 1 key. So if you said this prayer, we would like to say, welcome to the family of God, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's play some more music.
Thank you. for this moment and time together. It's all for your glory, God. It's all for you. We love you. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name. We say together, amen.
Friday. Okay, I hope you like those songs. Well, it's time for the prophetic word for today. The Father says today, let your testimony be. I go to the Father when you are tempted to wonder where your life is going. Remember this. You are with me in the eternities before the foundation of the world, and you will be with me during the endless future time. If you can receive it, you are with me now, seated in heavenly places, for all above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. You are not a time-bound sense, okay? You're a bound creature. We refuse to allow that which originates in time or dictates from your five senses. That will be what will be. I asked you the question now, and I asked Adam 6,000 years ago, who told you that you were naked? I say to you that you are not naked, but you are clothed upon my glory and my spirit that is putting you over in every avenue of life. Let the declaration be heard and resound on the inside of you, the song of heaven that emancipates you and sets you more fully free than human tongue can tell. The song of the Lamb is going out over you this day. Can you hear the sweet refrain that reverberates in you and through you, and by its power and resonance destroys all captivity, every lie of hell, and all despair or hostility that could possibly presume to touch your life? Stand up in the song today, says God. Stand up and once and for all attenuate your spiritual ear to my sound, and not to the cacophony of discordance that originates with me with the infinite power of the enemy. My song, the song of the I Am, is thundering in you, and through you liberate to heal and set free and emancipate you, and bring you this day, says God, into your blessing place. Amen. Well, we've gone through the sermon, the invitation, and the prophetic word. Again, we have no callers, and the chat room is peaceful. Okay, so I'm going to say, God bless you all tonight. Okay, and we'll see you again on Tuesday night. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Okay, and the rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.